following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning. My name is Austin McCallum. I am one of the pastors on the team here. I'm actually the student ministry pastor, so normally I have the joy of teaching for students, but today I'm here with y'all. And it feels like I'm here more and more as time goes, so that feels nice. Hopefully none of you guys are bummed about that. Today, we're doing something a little bit different than what we normally do, and I feel like it would be good to call it out on the front end. It is normal for Summit to just teach straight through books of the Bible. But today, we are starting a series that's not exactly that. Of course, like everything that we teach through, we want to let you know that it definitely comes from the Bible. It comes from biblical ideas. But about two or so times a year, we'll take a break from teaching straight through books of the Bible to either address vision. So if you've been around with us for a while, you've probably recognized that there's a theme that at the beginning of every year, we do like a 3 or 4 part series about just the vision of our church. Where is our church going? What are we dreaming for the people of our church? And then normally around this time, we'll take another maybe like month long or maybe a little bit more than a month long span to go through a series about just life here at Summit. So normally we're teaching through books. Right now we're starting a series where we're going to be talking about life and life here at Summit. So now, if you would, bear with me while I give you the intro to this series. Before I get there, when I was in college, I would have to teach in front of professors, and somehow they would like grade your teaching. And I remember one of them telling me that they would grade you and deduct points for the longer you went into your message without opening your Bible. Just know that I'm setting up a whole series, so don't deduct points from me right now, okay? Grace to be had, or at least that's what I'm asking for. So if you would, just for a second, just kind of think about the normal current or flow of life, the current or flow that someone takes from the time that they're born to the time that their life ends here where you're at in today. So if you were thinking about someone who's born, obviously like babies, I don't have any of them, but I feel like a bunch of them are really similar. It seems like they do a lot of the same things, like, you know, poop and eat and cry and sleep sometimes. So from the beginning, the current of life has you before you even know that it has you. You're actually being moved along, not even by your own decisions. And then eventually, when you're like 4 or 5, you start in either preschool or kindergarten. So very quickly, you're already in what is kind of like the machine of this culture, where from 4 or 5 years old, you start in on this track that is going to be 12 or 16 or 18 or 20 years of schooling almost every single day for the bulk of your day. So from 5 years old, maybe until you're 18, or maybe until you're into your 20s, you're going through school, and then eventually you end up graduating, be it from high school or college or post-grad or something else. I thought someone was laughing when I said you end up graduating from high school. Like, they were like, I didn't, now I'm here. But I'm just talking about the general current of life, not everyone's specific situation. But so you go through school, you end up graduating, you move on into early adulthood, and early adulthood looks different for people, but in general, it tends to be the time where you start looking for a career. You enter into the workforce, Maybe you get married, maybe you don't, maybe you have kids, maybe you don't, maybe you adopt, maybe you foster, but this is kind of the flow of life. You start life, you end up in school pretty early on, you carry out school for a while, you start working, then you start maybe finding someone that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, you start having these little people that all of a sudden you're taking care of, and then you just work for a while, like a good while. And I see some of y'all like, ugh. Because that's exactly where you're at. You're in the, I'm just working for a while. Actually, it's like after you get married and have kids, once you have a career, it's kind of like the next thing is retirement. And it's a ways off. And if you're like me and you work at a church, you're like, I don't know if that's even real. That sounds like a fever dream. That's not real. But you just work and you keep working. And hopefully you love what you do, and I think some people do, and unfortunately some people don't, but you keep working, and then eventually you either get to retirement or you get to this stage of life where you learn something new about life, or maybe it becomes real for you where you start taking care of the people that had been taking care of you. Your parents, they get to this age that they're later on, and although they've been the ones that have cared for you and they've been the ones that have supported you, all of a sudden you're caring for them and you're supporting them. You realize something about life, and I think that is fragile. And somewhere along the way, you also found out that this current, this flow of life, it has weight to it. There are things that come along in life, either because of the circumstances that you're in or just because of your own ambitions, your dreams, the things that you expect out of life that add to the weight of it, add to the complexity of it. And as you're going, you're feeling some of like the chaos of what the flow of life is. And so eventually, once you're past retirement, once you're in this age of now people are taking care of you, you just kind of ride out the last days. And that's kind of like the flow of life, the current of life. And that sounds sad. And I think once you get to this point where you're in your last days, maybe, because for people it's different, but maybe you're 80, 90, 100, 110, I don't know how old people live now with modern medicine. Maybe you're 120. I don't know if that's possible, but I think you look back and you realize that somehow you became someone. You became, because of the current of life, because of the way that it influenced you, because of the situations that you just found yourself in, you became a certain type of person, a certain type of father, a certain type of mother, a certain type of husband, a certain type of wife, a certain type of grandparent, a certain type of friend, or a certain type of employee, because of just the regular flow of life and the flow of life being driven by your habits, your everyday rhythms. You wake up one day and you are someone. And that someone is not just influenced by the cultural flow, not just influenced by exactly where you live, not just influenced by the people around you, influenced by what you do on a daily basis and the way that those things are forming you. And although that does sound a little sad, I would like to put before you that that's not the only option. There's an option for us not to just be pushed to and fro by the current or flow of life. Instead, there is an option for us to become who God wants us to be. There's an option not to just submit to the flow of life and the culture that you live in or the principles and ideologies that are being pushed onto you, but instead to arrange and rearrange your life around God, around the things of God, around His plan and His purposes for your life and for the people around you. And even in that, the thing that's driving that formation is your habits and your everyday rhythms. The train, man. Gotta love it. That's how you know you're in E-Town. The thing that's driving who you're going to become one day is your habits and your everyday rhythms, either when it's pushed by the current or flow of life, or either when you are arranging and rearranging your way of life around who God is, the things of God, and the people of God. And it's not that he's just leaving this to you to figure out on your own either. He's redeemed people that believe and follow him. He's graciously invited you into walking in his way, and he's invited you into a way of transformation. He's invited you into a more abundant life than was previously available to you. So instead of the whatever you would become, just being taken by the flow of life, he's inviting you in as the Spirit indwells you, as he transforms you to walk with him and to become whatever you're meant to be. And so today we're starting a series called The Rhythms of Grace. We're going to be taking 5 weeks to talk about rhythms of grace that God has given to his people, the church, you and I, that form and shape us. And so each week we're going to be taking a different rhythm, a different thing that he's invited us into that we can participate in everyday life in, that shape us into more of Jesus, that teach us to walk in his way. And so today we're just going to be talking about the grace to be formed, simply a rhythm, a gracious rhythm that he's given us, that we're allowed to walk in him and we're allowed to participate in him transforming us, creating us new. Next week, we'll talk about the rhythm of gathering, the rhythm of being a part of a church body, the rhythm of being with other believers and what that does to you and how that transforms you over the course of life. The next week, we'll talk about the grace to celebrate and the grace to remember, which will essentially be us talking about communion and baptism, the grace to celebrate the fact that you get to commune with the eternal God, and baptism to celebrate the fact that you have new life in him. And so we'll be talking about that in a few weeks. And just really quickly, I'd like to let you know, small plug, a little sidetrack, but don't get lost. On that week, we hope to do some baptisms. So if that's something that you're in here and you feel like you haven't done it, and you feel like maybe you should, you feel like God has been maybe like pressing on you that it's time to do that, or maybe you just have questions about it and you would like to have a conversation about it, we have a sign up open that we're asking people, would you go ahead and sign up, even if it's something where you're not sure that you want to do it, if you just want to have a conversation about it. Our sign up will be live on our website, as well as you could just email anyone on our pastoral team if you wanted to talk about it. So just putting that out there, we're going to go through what does it look like to celebrate and remember our ability to commune with God and the new creation that he's making us into. The next week, we'll talk about a rhythm of being generous. What does it look like, and how do we end up being formed when we participate in following Jesus's lead in sacrificial love? And maybe you're like in here and you're like, I'm going to be sure that I missed that one where they're going to talk about money. I would just say, please don't. That's all I would say. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying, if you're in here and that's what you're thinking, I would like to push back against that. And then the last week, we're going to talk about participating in the rhythm, participating in the habit, participating in the grace to covenant, which will actually be us here together talking about what does it look like for us to just be a part of a covenant body of Christ, or at least a local expression of the body. And we'll be talking about church membership. So if you've ever been curious about that, if you're here and you're already a member, This will be a bit of a review for you. If you're here and you're interested in membership, it'll be a really good week for you to attend. But also along the way, I think in actually 2 weeks, we're going to release our updated membership covenant. And then at the end of this series, once we've walked through what does it look like for God to invite us into participating in life with him on an everyday basis that is that's affecting our everyday habits. Once we've gone through this entire series, at the end of it, we're going to ask that people would be willing to review our updated covenant and re-covenant with us so that we could all be on one page chasing after one thing together as this local expression of Jesus's body. So over the next 5 weeks, walking through five rhythms that are all graciously gifted to us by God and that play a part in shaping who we are and who we're going to be. Sweet, sweet. Okay, so we really think that these next 5 weeks are going to be not just clarifying, but unifying for us as a body. And before we dive into exactly where we're going to be today, I do want to be sure that I make it really clear that Sorry, I keep getting choked up because I'm getting over a sickness and I got some weird like drainage stuff going on. Which to that point, although I love you, I wouldn't get close to me after service. I want to be clear that all of these things that we're going to be going over for the next 5 weeks, this is not us in any way saying that this is a merit-based system of things that you participate in order for you to be changed into what God wants you to be. It has nothing to do with merit as much as it has to do with a proper response to what God has already done for you. God is inviting you into his great love. He's inviting you into an abundant life, and the way to answer that, the correct response to that, is to walk with him in everyday things. So just to make that clear, it's an invitation into something that God initiated, that God is continually sustaining, that he's graciously giving. It's not something that we have to go and do so that we can become. It's something that he's already started and he's inviting us to participate in. But just to make that clear before we jump into where we're going to be today, so if you would now turn with me to Ephesians 4. That's where we're going to be hanging out for a little bit. But before we get there, I do want to submit to you for what we're talking about today, the grace to be formed, the rhythm of formation. What does it look like for us to become more of who God wants us to be? I would like to go ahead and say that every person probably and definitely every church already has a theory of the way that formation takes place. They have a theory of the way that people are changed. And hopefully for every church, they're getting it from a biblical place. And so for us, we're not going to try and address the entire theory of the way that people are formed. Instead, we're just going to talk about two primary ways that people are formed, and we're going to look at that through a lens that Ephesians 4 gives us. So I believe we have a slide of the two primary ways that people are formed. There you go. So we'll be talking about unintentional and intentional formation, and we'll be looking at that through the lens that we're getting from Ephesians 4. So I'm going to be reading and just discussing Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, 11 through 16, and 17 through 24, making some observations about it, and then we'll jump into breaking these two triangles apart. So Ephesians 4, verse 1, it says, I, therefore a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So Paul is talking to churchgoers of the church of Ephesus, and what he is pointing out to them is that he is a prisoner of the Lord. He's joined with them in submission to God, and for everyone that God has called to him, that God has called into a great love for each of those people, like we were just saying, there is a correct response. He's asking them, would you walk in a manner worthy of the calling? The manner worthy of the calling is, would you walk as Jesus walked? That's the manner that's worthy of the calling. That's the correct response to the love that God has shown. The correct response is, would you walk in the way that Jesus has walked? Would you walk in humility? Would you walk in gentleness? Would you walk in patience? Would you walk with others' mindedness? Would you be willing to bear with one another? And would you be eager for unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? And so he's pointing out to them, what does it look like for you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling? What does it look like for you to respond to God's great love? What does it look like for you to walk like Jesus? And then he's going to single out a few of these characteristics that Jesus embodies and that we get to see as we read the story of Jesus. And then if you were to hop down a little bit, as Paul is going to continue talking about this Jesus, talking about the way that he lived, talking about things that are true about him, he says, and he, Jesus, gave the apostles, this is verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. And so now Paul is pointing out to all of these people. He's just told them, would you walk in a manner worthy of the calling? Would you walk in the way of Jesus? He's pointing out to them now that Jesus is indeed the head of this group of people. Jesus is the head of all of you. You're comprising the body. And as you walk in his love, as you're built in his love, you'll grow up into maturity, into the head of Christ. You will become more and more like him as you together would seek to follow him, as you would separate yourself from the untrue doctrine, the human cunning, the deceitful schemes of the world around you, as you would separate yourself from those things and you would cling to Jesus and who he is and what he has done, you will grow up in love and you will grow up in Christ. Together, you as one body being equipped to do the work of Christ. So it's not just that you're maturing in him, but you're also being given this purpose of you're going to participate with him in his plan to redeem the entire world. So Paul is breaking this down for them. First it was walk with Christ. Now it's walk together with Christ and mature together. Be built up into love so that you can be more and more like him and walk in his way. So Paul is laying it on pretty dense for them. And then moving to verse 17 now. It says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul moves from walk in the manner worthy of the calling. There is a correct response to the love that God has given. Then he transitions into, would you walk not just with Jesus, but continually walk with Jesus and mature in Jesus. Walk with Jesus together and be built up in him. And then what he's saying is that as you do this, as you put off the world around you, as you put off the old self as you're able to walk more and more with Jesus, as you're able to fix your eyes and focus on him, it's not just that you're doing something new, it is that you yourself are new. It's that you are a whole new creation, meant for whole different things. And so with that, with all of that in mind, with what Paul is saying about the way that these people are supposed to walk, with the division that he's making from the way that the Gentiles act, the old self, the people walking in a way that's not worthy of the calling, and then the group over here that he's saying, these are the new self, the people walking in a way worthy of the calling, the people walking in the way. Let's first address what it looks like to be unintentionally formed with those things in mind. So if you would, take a look at this diagram. I don't know who made this, but it looks great. So at the top of the triangle, what you see is that the first part of being formed unintentionally is that there are stories that we believe. As we were just reading in Ephesians 4, even in verse 17, Paul says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." He's saying that there are things that people believe in this world. There are things that are put in front of you because of the culture that you belong to, or things that are put in front of you because of the family you belong to. There are things that are put in front of you, narratives and stories that we believe that help us navigate life, or that at least influence the way that we navigate life. And the stories that we believe or choose not to believe, they end up shaping us. So at the top of the triangle is stories that we believe. And then if you bump over to the left side, there are habits that we engage in. That's what we started talking about at the beginning, is that there are things that we do on an everyday basis that end up influencing who we're going to become in the long term. There are habits that we take part in that, although it seems like a small drop in the bucket whenever you do it once or twice, when you end up doing them every single day, or you end up doing them often across time, eventually these habits shape your heart. Is there anyone in here that drinks red wine? To sinners, gone, out of here. Just kidding, Jesus did it, so you can. I've heard that red wine is an acquired taste. So when it comes to habits that end up shaping you over time, it seems as if the more that you do something, the more that you would like to do it. Or maybe it would have been easier to ask if any of you drink coffee. I'm assuming the first time that you ever had coffee, especially if you take it black, you were not a fan. Some of you are like, ew. But the more that you drink coffee, at least this is the way it is for me, the more that I want coffee, to the point where it's like, now I have to remove coffee from my life. But the more that you do something, the habits that you participate in, the more that you want to do them, and these habits, they end up influencing who you are. And then the next part of the triangle is the relationships that we have. The people around us affect who we are. I don't think I have to explain that too much to you, but what Paul is talking to them about is that they're going to belong to a body bound together in Christ, and the people around them are going to affect them. It's not even hard when you look around to see that this is true. You've probably heard things like the saying of, you are who your friends are, or you will be soon. Or maybe you've heard that people just become their spouse over time, like even to the point where it's like biologically they start looking more and more alike, which is crazy. I don't know. You should look it up. There's weird studies about it. But relationships affect who you are. They have something to say about who you become over time. So all of these things are just things that we exist in, and they all take place in some form of an environment. And the environment also is affecting you, whether you know it is or not. I'm sure many of you have had different points in your life where you sat down and you've been like, I'm so happy that I was born in America. And then you had other times where you were like, America, tough that we're here. America, And then as you zero in the southeast, and then as you zero in Easley or Powdersville or Dacusville or wherever you live, is affecting you. It has its own culture. There's things about the environment that you exist in that, whether you want them to or not, they are shaping who you are. All of these things, the stories that we believe, the habits that we're engaged in, the relationships that we have, and the environment that we exist in, they are affecting you, they're shaping you, they're forming you. And over time, as you exist within these things, you become. And the thing about unintentional formation, the thing about this diagram, is you don't have to do anything other than exist for these things to shape you. You don't have to do anything other than you're around some people, whether you want to be or not. You exist within a place, whether you want to or not. You have habits because you got to do things during the day, whether you want to or not. And there are stories that you cling on to that influence you, whether you want them to or not. Unintentional formation. Just as you exist, over time, through your experiences and circumstances, we become. And then there's the flip side, which is the next diagram. There's intentional formation. And at least for the sake of today, we're going to talk about intentional formation, synonymous with spiritual formation. So there is what we're choosing to do, and what we're choosing to do as people that follow Jesus the Christ is that we want to be shaped in a way that's going to allow us to look more and more like Jesus, shaped in a way that's going to allow us to better walk in His way, to better walk in a way that emulates His life. And so as we do, we have to participate in certain rhythms, certain things that God is inviting us into that are going to shape us. But unfortunately, when it comes to intentional formation, it's not as simple as we just start doing these things and we become. It's not as simple as the unintentional formation was, where it's like you exist and it just happens. For any of you that are actively following Jesus right now or have for some time, you know that it's not just I start following Jesus and all of a sudden I'm better, I'm like Him, I'm holy, I'm righteous, I don't sin anymore. That's not exactly how it goes. You know that when you start following Jesus, because you're putting off the old self, you're bringing in all of this baggage. You're starting at negative, and it feels like you're fighting to get back to zero. So where unintentional formation was you being shaped whether you want to or not, intentional formation or spiritual formation is really counter-formation. It's in contrast to what naturally happens in this world. Does that make sense? Everybody tracking? So intentional formation at the top of it is teaching. Teaching of the truth to counter the stories that we believe already. If you read Scripture at all, you know that you're going to get in there, and if you're totally honest with yourself, you're going to start encountering truth that exists within the story of Scripture, in God's story, that you're like, I don't like that, or that rubs up against me wrong, or that's going to cause me to have to change really big things in my life. And that's what Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus about when he's telling them to not be pushed to or fro like children, when he's telling them that they're going to have to change and walk in a different manner, that they're going to have to be bound together so that they can walk in it together. He's telling them that it's not just this teaching that they're sitting under on a Sunday morning, but it is in fact the everyday habit, the everyday rhythm of them being immersed in the teachings of Jesus, being immersed in the truth of Jesus. And over time, that is going to affect who they are and who they're becoming. And then the second part of this triangle is practices. And the practices are the counterformation to the habits that we've already formed. The bad habits that we formed, or even the habits that you don't think are affecting you, or you have no clue how they're affecting you. Jesus, if you were to go look at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says that the one that hears his words and puts them into practice is like the man that builds his house on a rock. The one that hears the truth, the one that sits under the teaching, that's immersed in the teaching, but it doesn't just stop at Jesus' head knowledge. It actually ends up affecting your heart and affecting the way that you act. The one that puts them into practice is ultimately going to be formed into someone that walks in the way of Jesus, that embodies the characteristics of Jesus. So someone that's putting these things into practice to counter the habits that we already have going on. These practices shape us. This is played out for us multiple times in Scripture with the disciples where Jesus, he doesn't just tell them to sit and listen to him, but he says, hey, would you follow me? Would you get to know me? Would you observe me? And then would you go and do what I do? Practices shape who we are. They are the counter to the habits that we already have. And then the third part of the triangle, community, to counter the relationships that we tend to naturally make or that we tend to naturally gravitate towards. And the reason that there's a difference is not that the initial relationships were bad. The thing that makes community different is that they are relationships not just for having fun, not just for having good laughs or over any type of common interest, but instead these are relationships that are centered around and for the purpose of encouraging one another, admonishing one another, rebuking one another if necessary, supporting one another, and helping one another grow in Jesus. These are relationships that are more than friendships. They're something different. They're more intentionally focused on becoming more like Jesus, walking in the way of Jesus. And then all of these things, yes, they happen within an environment, but this environment is controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you want to be intentionally formed into someone that is more like Jesus Christ, well, then you're going to have to be dependent upon the Spirit. None of these things happen. This counterformation doesn't happen. You cannot walk in the new way or put off the old self and put on the new self if you are not walking in step, attentive and aware, dependent upon the Holy Spirit. So yes, they happen in environments, but it only happens with the Holy Spirit and then over time. If you've ever looked at a fruit tree, at the beginning, you have no idea what type of tree it is. When me and my wife bought our house, there was like a little sapling. We had literally no clue what type of tree it was. And then we cut it down before it was able to grow. So this maybe it's a bad analogy. But if we would have let it grow, we would have been able to find out what type of tree it was because of the fruit that it was going to produce or the flowers or something like that. Over time, as you're aware, attentive, dependent upon the Holy Spirit, as you're sitting under the teachings of Jesus, practicing the way of Jesus, existing within a community that is focused on becoming more like Jesus, over time, you will become someone who is more like Jesus and walks in his way. That's intentional or spiritual formation. And so where all of that sits for us here at Summit is today, I just want to take the time to talk to you, and this is where we're going to end, to talk to you about the environments here at Summit that, see that catch? That was crazy. To talk to you about the environments here at Summit that we're able to participate in being intentionally formed. So when it comes to teaching, this is it, right here. Not that it doesn't exist in other environments, but our corporate worship gathering on Sunday mornings with one another is more than just something that we show up to. It's more than just an obligation or something that you do out of habit, but instead, it is the people of God being confronted by the truth of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it happens not just in whoever is preaching that morning, but it happens in prayer, it happens in singing, it happens in playing instruments, it happens in listening to the words, it happens in fellowship with one another as you guys do. The corporate gathering, all of us getting together, is about us participating in being submersed and immersed in the teachings of Jesus. So when it comes to what does this look like, how is spiritual formation taking place at Summit? Well, the teaching aspect happens a lot during this corporate worship time where we're immersing ourselves in the teachings of Jesus. But it doesn't just stop there. As we were saying, the teaching is not enough to form you into a person of Jesus by itself. So it has to be put into practice. And where does that practice take place? It takes place within the confines of a community. So if you've been around Summit for a while, if you call this place your home, many of you probably exist within a life group. And maybe you're like, yeah, but like my life group's not super great at meeting. Or you're like, yeah, but like my life group, we're not super close. Well, like we were saying, although we do want everybody in here to be good and close friends, life group is about community, and that's different from just friendships. It's a group of people that are gathering together with a pointed focus of embodying the characteristics of Jesus and becoming more like him. And the way that we carry that out here at Summit is that this is a smaller environment than the corporate gathering, and it allows us to get into things that we can see throughout Scripture are important to Jesus. We get into life groups and we talk about intimacy with God, we talk about community with one another, and we talk about going on mission together in the place that God has sovereignly placed us. So life groups being the community that we have. And then this third environment is a new environment. And this is where practice takes place. I think some of you in here have already heard about this, or maybe all of you. But the third environment where practice takes place for the people of Summit is an environment that we're calling Summit Disciple. Great name. super creative. And this is an even smaller environment than life group. It's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 people, but no more than that. And it's gender-specific groups of people that are meeting on a consistent basis, be it over the course of 12 weeks or 24. And they're working through a curriculum that is basically working through like 6 themes through Scripture. It's working through the overarching story of God, or the overarching story of the Bible. It's working through what exactly is the gospel. It's working through how does God's heart affect your heart. And then it goes through intimacy, community, and mission, the ones that we were just talking about. And as we look at those, this environment is about practicing those things. It's about taking that truth and actually implementing it into your life. And so over the course of the 12 or the 24 weeks, it's a gathering that you leave every single time with homework. It's a gathering that every single time that you walk out of there, although you just took in some truth and there is an encouragement to sit and wrestle with it and pray through it and think through it with God, there's also a challenge for a way that you should start putting that truth into practice in your life. So those are our environments here at Summit where intentional formation or spiritual formation take place. Everybody good? Everybody hanging in there? I know this is like a lot of like building information. So all of that stuff about formation, all of the stuff about the current and the flow of life, all of the stuff about in Ephesians where Paul is talking about growing into Christ together, putting off the old self, putting on the new self, all of that is surrounding formation. It's talking about the choices that we make, the habits that we're a part of, the rhythms that we carry out within our life. And for you and I, obviously, our everyday rhythms look a little different. I don't exactly know what you're doing on a daily basis. I don't know what your mornings look like. For me, mornings look like getting up, let the dog out, bring him back in, feed him, let him out again so he doesn't pee in the house, make coffee, listen to a few hymns, drink my coffee, take place in what coffee does to people biologically. Like that's what my morning's like. I'm sure that's a little bit different than your morning. Our mornings aren't exactly the same. The rest of our days are not exactly the same. But these are general rules for the way that formation takes place, and it's in our everyday habits. But I cannot speak to what exactly your everyday habits are, but instead, I would just like to leave you with an encouragement. I would like to leave you with an encouragement that all of us here, for the place that we are all together, for the place where things are the same, just here at Summit, for people that call Summit home, for people that attend here on a regular basis, I would encourage you that in the ways that are available to you, participate in intentional formation. Continue to show up for the corporate worship. Continue to get to know not just your life group, but all of the believers that are at your disposal here. Everyone's carrying a unique story of grace where God has worked his beautiful goodness into their life. And then I would also encourage you, because I think it's going to be really beneficial, and I wouldn't encourage you into something that I'm not doing myself. I'm also going to be a part of a Summit Disciple group. I would encourage you to sign up. Our signups are live right now. I think it's on the front page of our website. They're trying to make it real easy. It is. Thank you. I would encourage you to take place in as many of these as your season of life would allow you to, so that we could continue to be people that sit under Jesus' teaching, that practice his way, and we do it alongside community so that we could embody the characteristics of Jesus and walk more in his way together. All right, I'll pray. And then we're going to praise God for his goodness and his grace in our lives that forms us into someone that can enjoy the abundant life. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather. Thank you for the ways that you have blessed each and every one of us. Thank you for bringing us together so that we can be a part of one another's stories. And Lord, I just ask that, man, would our praise be sweet to your ears? And when we leave this place, would we continue to process with you what it looks like to arrange and rearrange all of our choices around you so that we wouldn't just go with the regular current of life, but instead we would be people that are living for the love of your kingdom, for the advancement of your kingdom, and for your glory's sake. Father, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.